Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Every January, CES rolls around, and you know, typically it's where tech companies try to sell us dreams.
Oh yeah, a slightly thinner TV, a self-driving car that isn't quite there yet.
Exactly, or a robot that can barely get over a rug. But this year, CES 2026 feels fundamentally different.
It really does. We've dug deep into the research, all the sources, the official exhibitor plans for Vegas, and the mission here is, well, it's straightforward.
Oh, okay.
This isn't just a spec bump. It feels like a complete structural reset of the underlying hardware. So we're going to distill all that down and explain exactly why, if you're eyeing a new high-end laptop, a monitor, or even a CPU.
Why buying it right now might be a huge mistake.
A huge mistake. Immediate, serious buyer's remorse.
That is a bold promise.
Yeah.
So CES 2026, January 6th through 9th in Vegas. The stage is set. What are the three big pillars that are defining this shift?
Right, so when you synthesize the keynotes, we're talking Intel, AMD, Samsung, Sony 3 themes just dominate everything. First, AI everywhere. The idea that AI isn't just a feature anymore, it's the foundation built right into the silicon.
Into everything.
Everything. Second, a massive generational leap in processors. Specifically, the move to 2-nanometer class manufacturing.
And the third,
genuinely mind-bending next-gen display technologies.
So we're not just getting incrementally faster chips. We're getting a whole new architectural foundation that actually changes how the chip works.
Exactly. And every major player is competing to define it first. It's a huge strategic competition for the heart of what they're calling the AI-first PC.
So who's making the first move?
Intel. They're set to unveil their new Core Ultra Series 3 laptop CPUs. And these are built on what they call their 18A process.
Which is their marketing term for 2-nanometer class, right?
It is.
Yeah.
And a shift like that is just enormous.
Meanwhile, AMD isn't standing still.
Not at all. CEO Lisa Su is set to introduce the next wave of Zen 5 CPUs. That includes the gaming-focused Ryzen 7 9850X3D and the integrated graphics-heavy Ryzen 9000G series.
And there's something else in there, an AI graphics tech.
Yes. We're also expecting the debut of something called FSR Redstone AI.
Okay, we have to unpack that later. And of course, you can't forget the ARM competitors.
Definitely not. Qualcomm is showing up, and not with concepts, but with actual shipping hardware. They've got their next-gen laptop chips, the Snapdragon X2 Elite, and the X2 Elite Premium.
And that's where the race for battery life really heats up.
The field is crowded, the stakes are incredibly high, because they're all trying to define the new performance baseline.
Okay, let's unpack that manufacturing shift. That feels like the silent engine behind this whole reset, this migration to 2-nanometer class manufacturing.
It is.
So beyond the marketing message of it's faster, why does shrinking the process node matter so much right now for a power user?
You know, it's insightful because the shrink isn't just about making transistors smaller. It's about density and efficiency. And that opens up totally new design choices for these companies.
How so?
Moving to 2-nanometer, like Intel's 18A process, it gives them much better power gating. That just means less energy leaks when the chip is idle.
Which translates directly to
higher performance, but sustained at the same or even lower power. And for a laptop, that's everything.
So better battery life and sustained speed are the big user benefits. But what about the extra space you mentioned?
That is the second, and I think more strategic, benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Shrinking transistors frees up physical real estate on the silicon. And this space isn't being used for tiny speed bumps.
Right.
It's being claimed by massive expansions of critical components. We're talking larger caches, much stronger mobile GPUs, and most critically, dramatically more powerful NPUs.
The neural processing units. The dedicated AI accelerator.
Exactly.
And Intel is really leading with this strategy, pushing their Core Ultra Series 3. I mean, they're promising up to a 50% uplift over the last gen. That has to mean a huge leap in integrated graphics performance, too.
Absolutely. The integrated Arc GPUs have to be much stronger to handle the visual demands of all this local AI processing. The key takeaway from the Core Ultra 3 and their upcoming Panther Lake architecture is the shift away from cloud reliance.
Okay, so what does that actually let me do on my laptop without sending my data to a server somewhere?
Think privacy and latency. So instead of sending your data to an AWS server to run Stable Diffusion or a language model,
you can do it right there.
You can run small language models and complex image tools locally, right on that dedicated NPU. That means instant responses and way better privacy. Because your everyday AI features upscaling, real-time denoising on video calls, smart encoding, it's all handled on the device.
That completely shifts the paradigm. At the same time, AMD is playing a slightly different game. They've got this dual-pronged attack. For desktop gaming, the Ryzen 7 9850X 3D.
Right.
That 3D V-cache is still their weapon of choice, clearly.
It is. The combination of Zen 5 and that 3D V-cache, which is basically just stacking memory right on top of the processor, is focused squarely on providing not just the highest possible frame rates.
Consistency.
Critical consistency. Smoother, more reliable frame pacing. Competitive gamers notice that immediately. If you already have a high-end GPU, this is the upgrade that removes the CPU bottleneck.
And then there's the Ryzen 9000G series. With those powerful integrated graphics, that's targeting a massive global market.
Precisely. That series is all about value. For markets where a discrete graphics card is just too expensive or you don't need one. With these improved integrated graphics, AMD's goal is good enough 1080p gaming without a separate GPU.
That opens up a huge lane for budget builds for powerful mini PCs.
A huge lane.
You also mentioned that new AI tech, FSR Redstone AI. What is that exactly?
That's AMD's answer to integrating the MPU directly into their rendering pipeline. FSR is their existing upscaling tech. Redstone AI is expected to use the MPU for, you know, better motion stability, better edge reconstruction.
So making the upscaled image look cleaner.
Exactly. It uses the new AI silicon to make low-resolution images look better, which frees up the main GPU to just focus on rendering.
And we can't ignore the third front in this CPU reset, the ARM threat. Qualcomm's coming in hot with the Snapdragon X2 Elite.
And the X2 Elite Premium.
Yeah.
And these chips are focused on two things. Performance and incredible endurance. They deliver strong AI performance at very low power.
Setting up a direct fight with Intel and AMD.
A direct fight on everyday office workloads and AI features. Qualcomm isn't trying to beat a 4090 laptop at gaming. Mm-hmm. They wanted to find the benchmark for mobile efficiency for ultra-thin laptops.
But the question is always going to be throttling rate. Can these ultra-thin ARM designs actually sustain that power under a heavy load?
That is the critical question CES 2026 has to answer. Early leaks suggest huge efficiency gains, but yeah, sustaining that power in a super-thin laptop is always a thermal challenge.
We'll see.
We'll see a lot of burst performance demos, I'm sure. But the key is how they handle an hour of intense video editing. They have to prove they can keep pace with these new 2nm x86 chips.
The power inside is clearly changing, but how we interact with it is changing on the outside too. Let's talk about the display revolution. CES has always been the TV show.
Right.
And the sources say the line between a TV, a monitor, and even a piece of glass is blurring in some genuinely unsettling ways.
It is. And Sony is making a huge play here with a fascinating new technology designed to counter the dominance of QD OLED.
Okay.
Sony's pushing what they call true RGB mini LED technology.
True RGB. How's that different from the mini LED TV I might have now?
So standard mini LEDs use a white backlight and then color filters to make the image. Sony's tech uses independently colored mini LEDs, red, green, and blue pixels built right into the backlight layer.
Wow, so they just get rid of the color filter layer entirely. What are the benefits for the user?
Three huge things. First, significantly higher peak brightness than QD OLED.
Yeah.
Second, much better color accuracy and volume for HDR content, which is great for creators. And critically,
no burn-in.
None of the long-term burn-in risks that OLED panels inherently face.
So for gamers who have a static HUD on screen for hours, or creators with toolbars, this could be the perfect reference display. OLED-like blacks without the permanence issue.
That's the idea.
So what's the catch? Is the cost just going to be astronomical?
That's the trade-off. It's complex to manufacture, so initially, yeah, it'll be for the premium market, reference displays, high-end home theaters, but it sets a new performance ceiling that OLED has to chase.
Meanwhile, on the PC monitor side, the specs are just going to absurd extremes. Samsung's Odyssey lineup is teasing things that sound like they belong in a flight simulator.
That's exactly the market. Esports pros, serious simulation fans. Samsung has teased refresh rates reportedly reaching an absurd 1,040 Hz.
1,040 Hz. I mean, human perception literally cannot keep up with that.
It's unbelievable. They're also highlighting 6K 3D models, which probably need special glasses, but it's all about depth perception for simulation.
What does that tell us about where the market is going?
It tells us the latency chase is far from over, and that the display tech is now way ahead of most people's graphics cards.
And you have Lenovo hosting its event Inside the Sphere in Vegas, that giant LED ball. It's such a perfect metaphor for this trend toward total immersion.
It really is. That seamless integration is key. But what's truly sci-fi are the transparent monitor concepts. They're moving from just renders into near-product reality.
I have to ask the practical question here. What are the actual applications for a transparent display? I can't imagine playing a fast-paced shooter on a clear screen.
No, that's not the primary use case, is it? It's about utility and environmental integration. Think of them as HUD windows for your desk.
Okay.
Instead of a solid black rectangle, you could have a transparent monitor projecting, say, your streaming chat or your editing timeline right on top of your physical workspace. And they're designed to integrate with AR glasses, bridging that gap between digital and physical.
This shift feels total. Let's move to market implications. We have to address the biggest rumor out there, RTX 5090 Mobile. Is the next generation of NVIDIA laptop GPUs actually showing up at CES?
So to be clear, there is zero official mention of the RTX 5090 Mobile in any of the official CES schedules. It is still just a rumor. But you have to look at the market logic, and the logic is overwhelming.
Why is the rumor so plausible right now, even without confirmation?
Because the pressure from these new 2-nanometer CPUs from Intel and AMD is immense.
Mm-hmm.
Their integrated GPUs and MPUs are so powerful, they're going to start cannibalizing sales of current mid-range dedicated GPUs.
Right.
So the whole industry pivot to local AI demands a corresponding leap in graphics power. NVIDIA might not launch the 5090 Mobile, but they will almost certainly use partner showcases to hint that it's coming soon.
So even as a rumor, if you're looking at buying a high-end 4090 laptop today,
yeah,
CES is an incredibly important checkpoint. It's just smart to wait.
Absolutely. And that competition is defining this new thin power battleground. It's the fight between hyper-efficient chips like the X2 Elite and mid-tier mobile GPUs.
The big question for 2026.
It is. How close can ARM laptops get to traditional by 86 gaming performance when they're heavily assisted by AI upscaling like Redstone AI?
And the idea of the integrated GPU plus the NPU being good enough for creators, that changes the whole conversation for people who don't game.
For many workflows, yes. The integrated GPU combined with an NPU handling repetitive tasks, like denoising or smart filters, it might mean a heavy, power-hungry, dedicated GPU is no longer necessary for a lot of people. The definition of a creator laptop is about to change.
And this AI is just bleeding out of the PC entirely. We're seeing it in consumer tech, too. Samsung's trying again with its home robot, Bally.
They are. But we're also seeing huge steps in, of all things, cleaning robot.
Really?
Yeah, revolution in on-device AI. New models like the Roborock Syros Z70, the Dream X50, they have much more sophisticated path planning using dedicated AI chips. They can recognize specific types of debris and change their strategy.
And the appliance ecosystem is getting really tight. Samsung is integrating Google Gemini into its bespoke refrigerators. This is where it gets interesting.
It creates this incredibly rich, personalized feedback loop. The fridge isn't just a cold box anymore. With Gemini, it can analyze what's inside with cameras, see what's about to spoil, cross-reference that with your smart oven.
And suggest recipes,
but also optimize grocery orders that fit your schedule and even your energy consumption patterns. It's continuous environmental AI management.
So if we pull all this together, what does it mean for the long-term strategy of Intel, AMD, and Qualcomm using this label AI PC? Is it just a slogan?
It is absolutely not a slogan. It is the new baseline. The implication is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Within a couple of years, a PC without a capable NPU will just be considered legacy hardware.
And for gamers, this means better performance overall.
Correct. As tasks like upscaling and denoising shift to these dedicated AI engines, more of the GPU's budget can be reserved for just rendering the game world. That means higher native frame rates, better visual fidelity.
So CES 2026 is a huge calibration point. It fundamentally changes the definition of a good laptop, a future-proof monitor, and a sensible CPU upgrade. The whole hardware stack is resetting.
It is. We've seen the shift in displays to these extreme performance and transparent concepts. The CPU battleground has expanded to include ARM power efficiency. And even if the big mobile GPU news is just a hint,
it's coming.
The pressure from 2-nanometer architecture means that next generation of mobile performance is guaranteed to arrive soon.
So the smartest meta build you can do for 2026 is to just pause. Just wait a few weeks for the dust to settle. Don't buy today's performance ceiling when tomorrow's floor is going to be this high.
And that leads to a provocative thought we want to leave you with. It connects all this hardware back to your everyday life. If AI PC is the new standard, and smart home appliances are deeply integrating AI like Gemini in your fridge, an NPU in your laptop,
This continuous, tightly integrated environment is going to build an incredibly rich and detailed profile of your habits. So how will that seamless integration change the very nature of privacy and personal autonomy in the digital world of 2026? Something to consider as you prepare for the biggest hardware reset in years.